It is always a pleasure to be here with you, and if you're a guest, I want you to know you've come into a wonderful place, and if this morning caused you to go, whoa, $3 million, where's the door? Give us a minute to talk a little bit about what, not about that, but about what it means to live more than me, and thanks again to Rick for the invitation. He and I go back a long, long ways. In fact, I remember being a junior high school student and hearing him speak, so... I was giving him a hard time. Six grandkids. That makes six grandkids. I have one, as some of you may remember a while back, shared with you that the 27th of November, we got our first grandbaby. And so I am relearning a bunch of stuff, including children's songs. In the nursery, my daughter-in-law has collected these albums of old children's songs, you know, songs for kids. I flipped one of them over the other day when I was in there with Finn, thought, hey, maybe we'll listen to something. And the titles, see if you remember the words. The Itsy Bitsy Spider went, that's right. Or how about this one? Hickory Dickory Dock the... I saw those on the list, and I thought, there's a lot of pest issues in these homes. Spiders and mice. But then the third song took me back to Sunday school and vacation Bible school. If you're happy and you know it. Oh, man, I was in there playing that and singing with Finn. But it brought another memory to mind, too. A dear friend, a family we've known for some time, very successful guy in his industry, vice president. I mean, his life has just gone like this. One of those people that if you look from the outside, you'd say, wow, look what he's got. He's a Christian guy. He's a good guy. But his wife and I were in discussion at one point, and she said, you know, he's just always tense. It's like he's always worried about the next thing, and what do we need to do in here, and what about this project, and what about that? And she said, I don't know if it's wrong, but I just asked him the other day, baby, when are you going to be happy? Isn't that a tough question for somebody to ask you? When are you going to be able to sing if you're happy and you know it, right? Now, I look at his life and I say, wait a minute. He's got all these things going on. And then I remember some statistics that today, working at a place like Pepperdine University, a Christian university. And by the way, I have to say we're hosting in May a big open house and a Bible lectures, and would love if you're out that way for you to come visit us. But one of the research teams there came up with some research through our counseling office that said in listening to students, and by the way, Pepperdine students are bright, gifted, and many of them come from fairly well-to-do families. They listen to them, and their research said that along with research being done all across the country, young people today are more stressed, depressed, and lonely than many generations before them. If you're happy and you know it, nobody's clapping their hands. And yet we've got so much. When will we be happy? And then I remembered a letter from a prisoner. A letter written from either a prison or maybe house arrest. And I have a copy of it. And so do you. It's the book of Philippians, chapter 4. And listen to these words from Paul. And maybe this morning we can start understanding his secret. Here we go. Let's read this together. He says, I know what it is to be in need. This is Philippians chapter 4, the last chapter in this little letter to this church, verse 12. And I know what it is to have what? Plenty. I have learned, can you say this next phrase with me? The of. Now, the word contentment is supposed to be kind of a happy word, so let's try saying that one more time. Here we go. I have learned the. In any and every situation, yeah, let that sink in, right? Not just content when you win, not just content when you hit the lottery, but in any and every situation, whether, here we go, well-fed or whether living in plenty or, and I can do all this through him who gives me strength. I want that secret. America needs that secret. And you know, the secret in some ways isn't really a secret. It's one of those obvious things that's kind of right here when you really stop and say, what is Paul talking about when he says, I've learned the secret of no matter what's going on in my life, I'm happy and I know it. Because it goes beyond me. It's more than me. Now, the next two things I'm going to tell you, because I looked and I read and I prayed about this message and I thought, this seems so simple. Because these are two really simple things, okay? But every now and then you need that, well, I call them O'Malley moments. You've heard the story. The fellow on St. Patrick's Day, it's coming up, and he's in the bar in Boston. And a man walks in the door and says, I'll drink a Guinness in honor of Ireland with any man here. And the guy swivels around on the stool and says, hey, you're Irish. He says, yes, I'm Irish. He said, I'm Irish too. Oh, they shook hands and sat down, started to drink. He said, where are you from? He said, oh, I'm just from a little village just north of Dublin. He said, I was born just north of Dublin. No, what village? He said, well, mine was Killearn. He said, I was born in Killearn. Wait a minute, he said, what school did you go to? He said, I went to St. Mary's down in Figure. He said, I went to St. Mary's. Oh, and they're hugging. And then the other fellow says, wait a minute, what year did you graduate? He said, I graduated in 1959. I was in St. Mary's, graduated in 1959. Oh, they're laughing and hugging. And at this, the bartender just walks away. And somebody said, Mick, what's wrong with you? He says, I'm sick and tired of it. The O'Malley twins are drunk again. Now, I know. I've got Irish heritage, okay, all right. There are moments that I call O'Malley moments when something is just right here in front of me and I don't see it, and all of a sudden I see it and it's like, how did I miss that? Well, this secret is one of those. Paul starts out by saying, I have come to understand through God's work in my life, when living in plenty and when living in want, what Paul is saying is, number one, simple principle, contentment is not about getting a lot of stuff. If happiness and contentment was based on how much I can get, how much I can grab, then the happiest people on earth would be the richest people on earth. And don't you know that's true? When's the last time you were at a supermarket and walked through and saw the tabloids? Those people on the covers of the tabloids are some of the most rich, famous people in America. And don't they always look happy? She's divorcing him, he's done with her, she's getting the kids, he's fighting for custody. And it's just is like, it's like going by an accident on the freeway. We slow down to look a little bit, but we kind of go, oh my goodness, isn't that something? If you're happy and you know it, no, not so much. And there's a reason. Because we live in a culture and we are part of a broken world that says, this makes happy. Get a hold of it. Grab it. How much can you get? Jesus tells a story. It's a simple story. He tells a parable of a rich man. In fact, the rich man has a good beginning to his story. Now look at this for a second. Go over to Luke chapter 12. Here's how the rich man's story goes. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest, and he thought to himself, what shall I do? Now pause a second. This is good news. Everybody say good news. He comes out, and his foreman comes to him and says, boss, let me tell you what. We got strawberries. We got more strawberries than we know what to do with. We've got to triple the amount of strawberries we've ever had. And the man goes, woohoo! Oh, no. What do you mean, oh, no, boss? We haven't got room for them. We don't have enough barns. We don't have enough space. Now, excuse me, is there an obvious choice that this man is missing? Sure, because this man lives like this. Take your fist, clench it up just like this. Some of you did that on the car on the way here. But go ahead and do it here. Just clench it up like this. I want you to, and go ahead and clench it good and tight. And keep it there for a minute. Because this is how Satan wants us to live our life. Man, that's mine. I want to get a hold of it. I don't want to let any out. By the way, what do you think all the neighbors around this farmer's farm were thinking when they saw the bumper crop? Oh, Betsy, we're going to get some strawberries. I tell you what, I bet Farmer Bob is going to say, I got so many strawberries. Do you have any neighbors that do that? We used to have neighbors that was, man, I've grown tomatoes. And my dad would say, well, thank you. And they'd, you know, bring an extra bag. If you need avocados, come over and just get them off the tree. But not this guy. Oh, no, no, no. You stay off my property. Because I'm going to tear down my barns. And I'm going to build bigger barns. And I'm going to put my, and then he says, and when I build those bigger barns, then I'm going to say to myself, Self, remember this phrase? Take life at ease. Eat, say it with me. Eat, drink, and be. There's the word. I'm finally going to get it. I'm finally going to get happiness. He thought, yes. But then Jesus said, that very night God came to him and said, you intelligent person. What'd God say? Oh, no, you got to say it like grandma. Come on now. You got to say it like grandma when she caught you doing. What in the world are you doing? Say it with me. You. Yes. It's right here, Jeff. You thought that if you got, that if you owned, that if you. Oh, man, I remember wanting a bicycle so bad. Kid down the street got this beautiful swim bicycle. And I said, parents, can I have a bike? I want a bike like that. If I had that bike, I knew I would be the coolest kid on the block. A Schwinn with big, big butterfly handlebars and a sissy bar in the back. Come on, some of you remember this, right, man? So stinking cool. I told my parents, I told Santa Claus, I told the Easter Bunny, I told everybody who would listen, I just want this. I can still, this is so sweet, I can still remember the Christmas of walking in on Christmas morning and freaking out. There was a bike. In fact, that year, myself, my little sister, and my little brother, all three of us had bikes. It looked like a commercial, a Swin commercial. There we were, and we were so excited, and I got on mine, and we got it out in the parking lot. My dad was a pastor, so we had the parking lot of the church to practice our bicycle riding on, and they had training. Remember these training wheels? I was out there with my training wheels feeling so cool. Until later that afternoon when all the kids were out with all their gifts and we rode down and I got laughed at. On my cool Schwinn bike, I got laughed at. But one of the girls would say, he's got training wheels. I turned that thing around, went back to the house. What did the kids think of your bike? It's dumb. I got to get those training wheels off there. My mother, no, you'll kill yourself. You know, Dad, help me take the training wheels off. And I practiced, and he took the training wheels off, and I fell. But finally, I got to the point where I could ride all the way from my house to the school where I attended with no hands on the bar. Oh, yeah, you know that's good, right? And I still remember riding to Imperial and seeing a buddy of mine, older kid in the youth group, honk, honk, drive by in his car. Oh, man. Brad's not too many years older than me. If I just had a, oh, please, when can I get a car? Oh, you not car. I just want to save up your money. My parents, I used to say, any kind of car you want to get me. They took me at my word. 1964 Biscayne was my first car. And it was not 1964. My dad bought it from the city, the old city car, for $300. Man, he got it and got it home for me on a Friday. And I remember polishing that car up all weekend long, ready to drive to Redlands High School. I knew when I pulled in and parked, all the girls would just come running all across campus. Give us a ride in your car. But when I pulled up and parked, Jimmy Lang pulled up and parked next to me. Jimmy Lang's dad owned Lang and Runkle Motors. Jimmy Lang pulled up and parked in a Porsche right next to my Biscayne. Well, really wasn't a Porsche, but it was a new car back then called a Pinto. And, hey, come on now. This was an impressive car when it first came out. Second cousin to a Mustang, you know, and it was sitting right there. So think of it, you know, Biscayne and then this brand new Pinto. All the girls went straight to the Pinto. I drove home. Oh, man. I think back about my dad. Times I just broke his heart. I drove home to the house and, well, what do the kids think of your new car? And I said, it's not new. That's not a new car. That's an old car. I want a Pinto. I'm going to save my money. I want to get a Pinto. Sure enough, I got good grades and got a good scholarship to college, and my mom and dad said, well, and yes, my senior year, I remember driving to school in my new Pinto. Pulled up in park, and goodness if Jimmy Lang didn't pull up and park next to me in a real Porsche 911. Can you see the picture? Pinto Porsche. It's not in having a lot of stuff, folks, because somebody's always going to have a nicer something. Can everybody say, I get that? I get that? Okay, so do this with your hand, and you say, why? The scripture teaches us, you fool, talking to me, Jeff, you fool, you've got to learn this principle. Who's gonna want these things that belong to you? And you think this is going to be it? Well, what do I do, God? Paul says the secret is a little word called contentment, which in the Greek is a compound word, autoarchaeos, and autoarchaeos, rather. Autoarchaeos means self-calming, self-quieting, which is a weird phrase. But maybe this is a way it can make sense. If I live like this, this is mine. I'm going to hang on to this. And let's be real. Some of us as believers can be this way with our stuff and our things and our time and our energy. Church announces we're doing this, starting a new program. We need some volunteers. Now, wait a minute, hold on. I've got this. God says, you know, it's really hard for me to put blessings in that kind of hand. Clench it up for me, would you? Try this. Now, real slow. Don't do it fast or you hurt yourself. I just want you to... Go ahead. Some are like, what for? Come on, come on now. Contentment is being able to say, thank you, God. Thank you for what you've given to me, how you blessed me. Contentment is a choice. Now, hear me now. It's not, oh, I get this much money and then I'll be content. No, it doesn't work that way. Contentment is a choice to say, thank you, Lord. I'm going to choose to be happy right now because I got plenty of reasons to do so. Amen? Boy, we've all just got tons of reasons to do so. That autoarchaeos is a word for self quieting. That's actually a baby phrase. It's a phrase that I read in one of the magazines that my daughter-in-law now takes about parenting. Did you know that if every time a little baby whines or cries, we all rush in and do something, that baby will never learn to self-quiet? And then he or she will grow up to be a big baby. Well, I want this, and I want that, and everybody's rushing around. And sometimes their bosses, well, give me this, and give me that, and everybody rushes around. And after a while, you're like, really, isn't it time you got happy? Isn't it time you, well, there's another phrase. What's the other phrase we use? Grow up. Oh, man, I saw a kid in the mall. I'll tell this fast. I saw a kid in the mall pitch a total fit. I mean, down, face on the ground. He'd walked by a store, kid about this big, walked by a toy store with his mom. Oh, take me in there. Come on, we have to go. Take me in there. And finally, he throws himself down, pitches the fit, and screams. Echoes in the mall. Screams. If you don't take me in there, I'm going to hold my breath till I die. And 40 of us almost said, go for it, kid, do it. Put us out of our misery, please. And it's even sadder when that kid is 40. Or 50. Or 60. Mine, mine, mine! And Paul says, can I tell you a secret? If you'll do this and live with an open hand of thankfulness to God, of recognizing that every gift I've got. You say, why do you think Paul had that attitude? Well, you remember what he said in the book of Corinthians when he wrote and said, I'm the least of all the apostles. I don't even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, what is grace? Grace is the word charis, which is a gift. By the gift of God, I am who I am. You see, you can't teach somebody to do this by peeling their hands open. We've tried with our kids. Come on now, share, right? And we peel their little hands open. You want to get somebody to open their hand up like this? Would you like to open your heart up like that? Here's how you do it. You stop like Paul and say, oh, wow, you've been good to me. You've been gracious to me. You've been, I think about my spouse. And my sons. I think about my grandson. I think about my health. I think about living in America. I don't know about you, but I love living in America. We are blessed. The countries, yeah, we got challenges, and yes, the politics can make you sick, but God bless America for the freedom that we have to worship. Amen. All right. So the times when my hand pops open is when I recognize how big the gifts that God has given me are. Because when you ever gotten a big gift that just caused you to say, whoa, in fact, it caused you to do this. It caused you to say, oh, no, that's just too much. I've only been best man once. But when Bob Williamson asked me to be the best man, I knew what I had to do. I went to his wife-to-be's mom and said, Ruth, what's a really great present that I could buy for them for the wedding? Because as the best man, I was told it had to be the best gift. Well, she said, well, they do want a microwave, but they're expensive. This is back in the day. And I said, okay, microwave, got it. Went down to Sears, bought the biggest microwave they had. It was early model, right? Big old thing. And so I wrapped up the box and I took it to the party, and here's all the other groomsmen and bridesmaids, and they had all their gifts, you know, nice little ones. And here's my big, my best gift, right? But when the moment came and they pulled the box out and some of the groomsmen went, oh, look, Jeff's got him 3 months worth of toilet paper. Ha, 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 ha. I thought, yeah, right, open it up. And they ripped open the paper. And one of the groomsmen laughed and said, look, he put it in a microwave oven box. Ha, 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 ha. But Bob popped the staples and looked in. Beth, I never forget this. They were on the ground, and they popped it open. And Beth looked up and started to cry. And Bob shook his head. And I thought, what's in the box? I mean, you know. Bob said, this is a microwave oven. And I thought, well, good. That's what I paid for, right? But then I realized everybody in the room had gotten quiet. And Beth is just weeping. And Bob says, you should not have done this. And I looked around the room and I thought, you're right. I've ruined the whole evening. Have you ever had one of those moments when somebody gives you something and you just go, oh, no, 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 no. Well, yeah, you did. You had it a moment ago when you got handed bread and juice. Did we stop and go, not your son? Oh, no. God, what can I do? He said, just do this. Live generously with your neighbor. Live generously with your spouse. Live generously with your kids. Give of your time and energy and of your treasure. Live generously with your church. Because you can do this. But you can't clap. I'm happy and I know it. Because you're too busy doing this. But you know when you do this? Or as a friend of mine said, well, Jesus, he did it this way. Would you bow with me? Father, Lord, we want to open our hands and open our hearts. We want to just open our lives up this month as we think about beyond us, more than me. And so, Lord, I ask that you give us today the grace to do that. I pray for some folks sitting out there who've had clenched fists when it comes to their spirituality and haven't wanted to step out and say, there are things I need to change. Or Father, those who've been fearful, oh, if I give myself to Jesus, am I going to lose control? Am I going to have to stop this or that? Father, I pray this morning they can open their hands and open their heart. But God, for the vast majority of us who've known Jesus and walked with him for a long time, may we open our hearts today and open our checkbooks, our planning budgets. Father, may we this week look for places where we can be generous to others. For it is there that we will find that peace, that contentment, that joy by remembering it is more blessed to give than to receive. And I pray this in Jesus' holy name, and all that agree say, amen. I remember this morning about the grandpa who took his kids, grandkids, and great-grandkids and said, I want you to help me plant some trees on the farm. And so on the big road leading to the house, he had these little saplings, and they were digging up holes and planting them. And the kids were saying, what kind of tree is this going to be, Grandpa? And he pointed down to the big shade tree at the house and said, it's going to be just like that. Awesome. Oh, wow. And so they helped to plant. They'd get a little tired, but, you know, he'd get them some water. And they finished planting them. And one of the sweet little girls sat down by this tree, and she was trying to kind of get under it, but it was tiny. And she said, Grandpa, can we come and have a picnic under the trees? And he said, well, sweetheart, they're not big enough to give you any shade. Okay, well, when we come back this summer, then can we have a picnic under the trees when they're big like that? And Grandpa said, sweetie, these trees grow much slower than you kids do. And, well, it'll take a long, long time for them to get big like that. And one of the boys said, well, Grandpa, when are we going to get to have our picnic under the trees with you? Grandpa said, you're not. I'm not going to be around when those trees get that big. And that same kid said, well, Grandpa, why are you planting them then? And Grandpa smiled and said, so you and your kids can have a picnic under these trees. Oh, I praise God for the people who planted shade trees that you and I now sit under. Folks who gave for this place, the folks who gave in my life and yours. Let me tell you what, you don't do it like that. Thank you, Lord, for letting us join the line of givers in life and love. And let's plant some trees for the future and be content as we do.